Today we are going to look at 1 Peter 13 through 21. 1 Peter. Let's read 1 Peter 1, 13 through... Let's see here. 1 Peter 1, 13 through 16, as we continue in our study of 1 Peter. Therefore, preparing your minds for action and being sober-minded, set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance. But as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, since it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. Okay, a lot of things to unpack. We're going to read more verses today than we have in any of the previous sessions. A lot of stuff to unpack here. Therefore, why? Why is he saying therefore? Remember, therefore is a key word in Scripture. Because of the hope that we have in 3 through 6, right? The hope that's being guarded in heaven because of the tested genuineness of your faith, because of the salvation that prophets have prophesied about in 10 through 12. Because of all that, what? Set your minds for action. Be ready to act, to do things, as opposed to what? Just sitting on your bum and not doing anything, maybe. And so a couple of things that come out of this. Again, he's still pointing them to a future thing, right? Set your hope on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Well, that hasn't happened yet. So we're still looking. He still keeps pointing them to the future thing. Don't get mired down in the muck of the now, of the current, but be sober-minded. That is, that's an interesting word. To be controlled literally means to abstain. So the word sober means to abstain from wine. But I think what he's really saying here is be controlled, be aware, be alert. Don't let the world cloud your judgment or disrupt your thinking, right? Be in control of your own thoughts. But as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. This is one of the key phrases, not just in this book, but really there it comes in from a lot of places, right? There's the quotation is from Leviticus 11:44, and the quotation, there's a lot of things that aren't really applicable in the original context in Leviticus. He's talking about the eating the thing that swarms, or eating the defiling yourselves with anything that swarms or crawls on the ground. But the general principle of what? He called you. He is as set you apart. And again, the word holy itself, right? To be set apart for a purpose. He called you to be holy. So set yourself apart in your conduct. And this is where he really starts to get into the practical matters of it, right? In what we do, be different. And this is the call of the book. You're in a place you don't belong. You're elect exiles of the dispersion in all these different places. You really are looking to heaven. You're looking to this hope that's being kept guarded for you until the last time. While you're in the place you don't belong, don't act like they do. That's essentially what he's saying, right? Don't act like the world does around you. Let's keep reading in 1 Peter 1:17 through 19. And if you call on him who as Father who judges impartially according to each one's deeds, conduct yourselves with fear through the time of your exile, knowing that you are ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your forefathers, not with perishable things such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot. In this verse, we're seeing a little bit of the, and this is the way it is in all of the New Testament letters, the interesting balance between the Jew and the Gentile congregation, right? In some ways, he's writing to Jews, right? And he uses that word of the dispersion, the diaspora, which was a term that had morphed to mean this mass exodus of Jews into the Mediterranean world. But he's also talking to Gentiles, right? So when he says, conduct yourself with fear throughout the time of your exile, right? Okay, yeah, talking to Jews who aren't in Judea anymore, but also talking to the Gentiles who, again, even though they may have been born in, and we think about the places that he listed, maybe you're a Gentile born in Galatia or Cappadocia or Asia, and you're still living there, and you receive this letter from Peter, and you're in the church, and he says this, conduct yourself with fear throughout the time of your exile. That still applies to you, even if you are in the place you were born. Because again, you don't belong there. You belong where your treasure is being kept. And that phrase again, who by God's power, verse 5, are being guarded through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed at the last time, right? There's another phrase that I really liked. Yeah, in verse 4, to an inheritance that is imperishable, kept in heaven for you, right? So again, he's even if you're a Gentile, and us, maybe there's people I'm talking to right now who are living in the same town they were born. I don't know if that's true or not, or maybe you're living in the same state you were born. I'm not. That's okay. I don't belong here. No matter how I feel about this town, this is not my eternal destination, right? This is a truck stop on the highway to something better. So conduct yourselves with fear throughout the time of your exile, knowing that you were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your forefathers. This is, again, there's an interesting switch here. So we might assume conduct yourselves with fear throughout the time of your exile. Well, that's referring obviously to the Jews who are no longer in Judea, but it also applies to the Gentiles. Knowing that you are ransomed from the futile ways inherited your from your forefathers, well, we might assume, well, that's obviously talking about the Gentiles, right? The Gentiles who had been worshiping the pagan gods for so long. That's clearly talking about them. I'm going to put this back on the screen so you can see it again. Knowing that you are ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your forefathers. Oh, obviously he's talking to the Gentiles there, but that also applies to the Jews, right? The futile ways inherited from your forefathers. Maybe the traditions of the elders that Jesus condemned over and over. Hey, why are you following the traditions instead of the commandments of God? But even then, even if it's talking about the good things of the law, right? We've looked a lot in Romans at Paul as he's talked about the ending of the law, the fulfillment of the law. Those are futile now. Those are no longer the ways that are useful. So maybe the Gentiles he's talking to, the pagan worship, but I think also the Jews. You're no longer living in those things. The old things that you used to do, you're not doing those anymore. You were ransomed from those futile ways. For us, what would that be? The things that we used to do before we were Christians. Whatever that happens to be. Whatever activities that you were involved in, that maybe it's family traditions, maybe it's a tradition that you developed on your own, maybe it's just your habits that you used to be in. Whatever those were, before you were ransomed, before you were bought with the blood of Christ, stop doing those things. Now you've been called to be holy, right? You've been called to a different purpose. You've been called to live a different way than the passions of your former ignorance, as he says in verse 14. Don't live according to the passions of your former ignorance. Now we can keep reading. I think I have one more section of text on here. Yes, 20 and 21. He was foreknown before the foundation of the world. This is Christ, of course, but was made manifest in the last times for the sake of you who through him are believers in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. Now, what's this point here? This is not something that was unanticipated, right? This is not something that God didn't know was going to happen. God has always had this in the plan. This is not some backup. Oh, they killed Christ. Oops, what do I do now? That's not how it is, right? He was foreknown before the foundation of the world. And again, back in chapter 1, or back in verse 2 rather, 1 Peter 1, 2, to those who are elect exiles according to the foreknowledge of God the Father. He has been watching out for us, the Christians of his day, of Peter's day, and us in today. He's been watching out for us for literally all of history. He has been watching out for his chosen because he's God. He can do that because he's infinite, because he has perfect knowledge and perfect foreknowledge. He has been watching out for you and me for all of history, from before history. And that is quite frankly, astonishing that he would have been thinking about us in this situation right here today. You're in your house, you're in your wherever you are, I don't know. You're watching this on your phone. God has been thinking about you for all of history. Because he's infinite, and he can do that. The things that he has been preparing for us to do, this holy conduct that he has called us to live, things that he has set in motion for us from before the beginning of the world. I'm reminded of that passage. I don't have it on the screen, but I can pull it up on my Bible right here. Let's see here. No, I can't because I don't know where it is. But I can just search it. Sorry, my keyboard is so loud. Yeah, Ephesians 2:10. Let's start in Ephesians 2:8. For by grace you have been saved through faith, not of your own doing, the gift of God, not a result of works that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Peter's letter is a letter about action. It's a letter about what we do. Now, it's a letter. There's some theological stuff in there, too. I'm not denying that. But really, the book is about how we live holy lives, what we do to be holy. And that's his point, right? Verse 15, as he who called you is holy, you also be holy. So I don't know what you're planning to do today. Maybe nothing. Maybe you just are sitting at home. There's still things you could do that would be holy, right? There's no matter what circumstance you're in, there's stuff you can do to be holy. There's set apart, sanctified, holy actions for you to take. Maybe it's as simple as picking up the phone and calling somebody and being encouraging, right? We're told to encourage the faint-hearted. Maybe it's something as simple as writing an email to somebody who lives far away that you haven't talked to in so long. Maybe it's praying more. That's something you could do, right? Pray more. Maybe you have more time than you used to have because you're not doing as much as you used to do because of the social distancing stuff. Pray. That's something that you could do. Or study God's word more. That's what we're doing right now, why we're doing this, because we have opportunity to do this as we're sort of isolated. We're trying to learn more from God's word. That's a good work that we could have prepared beforehand to walk in them. Why do you think all of this was written? It's for us to study, for us to know, for us to read. So whatever your circumstance you find yourself in, you can be holy.